Welcome to Apothecary After Dark, the official podcast of Amityville Apothecary.
This is what real witches talk about when the doors are locked, the lights are low, and the incense is still smoldering.
From spell work and shadow work to hot takes on hexes, healing, and everything in between, we're serving up magic, mystery, and a little bit of mischief.
So pour a cup of your favorite libation, light that protection candle, and settle in. It's about to get witchy.
Hi, everybody. I'm Danielle.
Hey, I'm Dina. How are you?
I am so excited and thrilled to introduce you to my favorite creator, who is the creator of my favorite deck that I talk about all the time, the Lightseer's Tarot. And she's got many other products that we will talk about, but Chris Ann is our special guest tonight. So thank you for joining us tonight, Chris Ann.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Everybody that is familiar with us knows that my go-to staple deck is the Lightseer's Tarot, and it's so beloved by so many of our customers, and I'm sure I don't need to tell you. And then you came out with that beautiful book to compliment and go into the details. So thank you for creating that.
If you remember the people that watch our podcast, when we do the card pulls for the collective, typically Danielle is pulling from Lightseer. So it will look very familiar if you're watching and not listening.
Exactly. Some of your other products are the Muse Tarot, which is very beautiful, and the Curious, I'm going to put
Creatures, I've got here Tarot of Curious Creatures and the Sacred Creators Oracle. Perfect. And you said, you asked me if I had my decks handy to show, and I'm going to show one that's like a very old, like indie one called Manifest Being Seen that actually has only words on it for creators, and it's very unknown. So I'm just going to put that up there and very not available at the moment, but we keep thinking about reissuing it. So maybe sometime in the future.
Oh, you should.
I'm totally all for that.
You should totally re-release it.
Yeah. So you're a beautiful artist, and I was honored to take a workshop with you at the Hay House I Can Do It conference. And I've had the pleasure of meeting you a few times now. So it's like a dream realized, not to like blow smoke, but like truly, I really am honored to have the opportunity to have a personal relationship with you because I am such a fan of your work. How did you get started in all of this?
Well, before I even go there, thank you for enjoying my work and thank you for supporting my work and people who have little shops and the little metaphysical shops and the little esoteric spaces in the world. Like, you are my people because this is exactly where I got started. You know, I was 16 and 15 or 16, you know, we get to that age of like trying to break free from our families and we don't know where we're going and we have all that teenage angst and we feel so lost. And I just wandered into a little metaphysical shop and I just felt instantly like, this is me. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be, right? So those shops, your shop, it's just like those places in the world are so important to people finding their way. Your little lighthouses all over the world, you know? So I did get started in a little metaphysical shop, just like yours.
It's awesome.
I love that. I think a lot of times we lose sight of like third places or third spaces where people can come and find their community, you know? So I love that that's how you got sort of exposed.
Right. Well, I was really interested in all things that were kind of occult and different. And I actually wasn't allowed in my house. I grew up in quite a Catholic household. Those things scared my parents because they didn't understand them. Now, they certainly don't now. My mom has been one of my biggest fans. She has been the editor on whenever I did indie projects for my guidebooks. I mean, we have a totally, our whole house has a very different relationship right now with the kind of alternative spirituality. But it was harder for me when I was young because I wasn't allowed. And so I felt like I almost had to sort of, you know, I'd go in there and I felt protected because the whole space felt like it welcomed me and I didn't have to hide who I was or I didn't have to pretend, you know, which was just, I just have such wonderful memories of that. And then from there, I just played with cards and runes, to be honest with you. Runes, I really got into runes heavily at first because they weren't as obvious, right? When you're sort of in the broom closet, they weren't as obvious. They weren't as scary. Nobody could really understand what was happening because they were just stones with marks on them. And so I gathered beach stones from the Inverness Beach in Nova Scotia. That's where my mom was from. And made my own little set of runes to get started. And from there, I just sort of was voraciously trying to learn all of the things. And eventually I kind of got into my design career, and it was a part of my life, but it wasn't my career at the time. You know, we all sort of have those moments of, okay, now I'm doing this thing and I'm going to be an adult in the world and I'm going to play the role of like a good designer. And this was always sort of a side thing for me for so many years. Eventually I had my own design business and a branding business and a little creative agency that I absolutely loved for many, many years until I didn't. And along that way, and like in that part of my life, I had clients that when we were doing branding exercises, especially when it was a group where I would go into a corporation where it was really important to get a bunch of different people's ideas about what was happening with a brand, I started being brave, because it was very brave in like 2012, 2013 to be overtly bringing tarot and oracle into business situations, because it wasn't as accepted as it is now. I would bring oracle decks into these branding situations, trying to just tease out the truth of what people wanted to say, right? When their boss was there, when their manager was there. And because you know the way it works, right? The cards give us full permission to see and say what we need to see and say.
Right, absolutely.
That was very progressive of you. Yeah.
I lost a few clients, I'm not going to lie. Not everyone loved it. Some people were like, this is way too weird. And I was like, come on, it's creative. We're going to, you know, and I kept searching for the perfect deck to bring into that situation and I couldn't find it. And so that was sort of where my whole journey with maybe I can create something that I want to use with my own clients began. That's where Sacred Creators came from. That was my very first oracle creation. And it was specifically the indie version was very much tailored to business and branding and growing, you know, sitting and getting brand ideas for people, marketing. And it did get changed a little bit when we did the Hay House version. It became more, you know, just a little more mainstream and not as much business. But the very first version of that deck was the one that I created for myself to use with clients. So I just sort of created what I wanted in the world. And then the rest, I fell in love with the art of creating decks, and I decided to transition my whole, you know, I had this creative agency for 15 years, 16 years, and it was doing well, but I just fell out of love with it and fell into love with, okay, maybe this is something I could actually do. And I took a chance on jumping into like full-time tarot creation. And that's story amazing. In a nutshell.
That's amazing. It's so interesting because I think all of us are contemporaries that I think we all have very similar stories, and that we did sort of what society either expected of us or it, you know, like Danielle, myself, the same. And not that I'm like jealous of the younger kids, but they seem to have so much more permission to be creative or to follow their interests, the dreams that are placed on their heart. Like, it doesn't seem like they're as confined, or maybe they're confined in different ways than we were when we were coming up in our, you know, late teens, early 20s, like what was expected of us, you know?
Yeah. It wasn't a different template.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting, because when you were saying that, I was like, oh my gosh, like we have that exact same experience where we had completely different lives and careers before we opened this metaphysical shop. So it's really interesting.
And opening this was a coming home to all of those early things that we used to play with. Like, I used to carry around a tarot deck. I used to, you know, spend my time outdoors. My dad was also Catholic in the household. So like, you know, they were like, this is a little weird.
You it's know, so
like,
funny because when you were saying how you grew up Catholic and it wasn't, I was like, well, definitely you weren't like the Italian Catholic because the Italian Catholics are all about the fortune telling.
Right. See, but it's so funny because now as I'm thinking more about my ancestry in Ireland mm-hmm. and where my grandmother, my dad's mom was from, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like Druidry in my family ancestral lines because right. they definitely were magical, but in different ways.
Oh, absolutely. So
they wouldn't come out.
I feel the same. I feel exactly the same. Like there is magic in all of our, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're from. There was a wise elder there that was either talking to animals, playing with plants, talking to the sea, the stars, whatever it was, you know, depending on your particular ancestry. But we all have magical beings in our past. Every single yeah. one of us, I feel them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So which was the next project? Was it Lightseers?
So,
in terms of all of your decks? Yeah.
Absolutely. So when I finished Sacred Creators, I was like, I thought it was one and done. I'm never doing a deck again. It was such a giant project. It is a giant design project. And I did it as an indie creator. So that meant doing the design work, the writing, sending it to print, importing the product, sending the product. I mean, I did the whole thing as like me, myself, and I, and my one assistant. And I had help in little bits and pieces here and there. But I kind of thought that was it for me. And Ethany invited me to do Tarot Summer School that year after the Sacred Creators Oracle came out, and just to do a course as a designer on how to create a tarot deck or an oracle deck. And it was in that course that I was creating PDFs for people thinking, what process did I go through for Oracle? And then I thought, well, I've never done a tarot deck, but for the tarot creators, I really should create a similar PDF for them. So it was just a little PDF that was like, what would your suits be like? What is special about your deck? The typical planning, you know? And I thought that I was creating it for the students in the course. And lo and behold, I woke up like the next day after creating that PDF. And I was like, oh, all the ideas just flooded in. And I started filling that thing in. And I felt the like spark start to spark. And I thought, oh my goodness, there is a tarot deck in here that I had no idea that was going to come alive. And so I started creating that tarot deck. And I was about 6 months into that project. And the muse came along. Now this is crazy because for anyone that's ever created a tarot deck, you know that it's a massive undertaking. This is years of your life to do all that artwork and all of the creation. And the muse started, you know, whispering there in my ear. And I kept saying, I can't do two tarot decks. It's just not smart. It's just for business. It's a horrible idea. As a creative, you drop one thing and you pick up another and you'll probably never get back to it. And I kept talking to my assistant. I kept talking to my husband. I'm seeing this deck, the muse. It's all women. It's divine feminine. It's got all of this poetry. And I started getting the poetry for it. And I think I wore them out because both of them were finally like, just do the muse. Like you just keep talking about the muse, right? And so I, partway through that project, I stopped, created about 90% of the muse in a very short period of time. And then I went back to Lightseers. And so I birthed them as twins as a Kickstarter project. So they came out the same time at the same time.
I just happen to have them both next to each other. For anyone that's just listening to it, I have them both right next to each other. And they're both so beautiful, but they each have their own identity and their own personality. So how would you describe the personalities of both? Because I adore them both.
Oh, thank you. They're so different. That's always something that I feel a little bit insecure about as an artist, because they always say that fantastic artists have a style, and there are artists out there that you look at their work. Danielle Noel is coming to mind. Mm-hmm. You know her deck, you see her stuff, you know it's hers. And I really love her work, which is why she's coming to mind right now. But most great artists are like that. And I spent my life as a designer fulfilling other people's wishes for their work. And so I had to learn a lot of different styles and play with a lot of different things. And I get bored really easily and I always want to do something new. And so they're so different visually, you know, and all of my decks are, and I don't think I'll ever do two decks that look the same, but the Light Seers was very, I was thinking a lot with that. There was a lot of planning. I really used that planner that I made. I planned the suits out. I was like, what is the communication here? What is the message? And underneath it all, I heard, let it be healing, let it be healing, let it be healing. Because each deck seems to come with an affirmation or a mantra, which is strange but true. And with the Muse, it was much more inspired. And it was just like, let it be inspiring. Let it be creative. Like, let it just flow. Because the Light Seers had so many layers of symbolism and questions that I had about it. And how do we represent each thing and all of the different, there was a lot of thinking. And the Muse, it was my permission in that moment to get away from the thinking mind and to just step into flow and just really listen to the Muse and the creative energy that flowed through me. And I didn't question anything. I just put that on paper as it came. Like, the poems came and that was it. The images came and that was it. And it was almost, and not like in, people may interpret this different. It was almost like a manic state, you know, without being necessarily, you know, there was no diagnosis. It was like the creative manic state. You know what I mean? Where the creative just gets into flow. And I was obsessed with the Muse. Like, the Muse just spoke through me. I was Photoshop by proxy.
And it just starts to come through, and it's coming through, yeah. And you're just like
channeled,
catching it, yeah. You know,
that's it. Was,
for sure.
I was catching the Muse, and yeah. I felt like I had that word of the year then, which was mused as a verb, because I felt mused. Like, I felt filled and moved by this energy that was beautiful and felt very divine. And I don't think I mean, I may never be in that state again, because we cannot live in that state. As humans, we can tap into it, but I was in it for a little bit too long, and I totally burnt out at the end of the project and all of the things. But it was beautiful. And, you know, I'll always remember that creation process with so much just awe and adoration for the energy that moved through me. Yeah.
That's amazing that you achieved both of them at the same time. That's like quite the undertaking.
Yeah, gigantic. It's a gigantic amount of work. Like, I couldn't even.
And then after that came the Curious Creatures, which is so whimsical and playful and very different in its own right. So what was the inspiration for that?
Honestly, Curious Creatures was my nephews from Chile were visiting, and it was like February of 2020. And we were all feeling the shift that was coming without really understanding what was about to happen. And mm-hmm. I also had just had a concussion. So there were a few things happening in my mind and in my body and in my spirit. And I also had teenage boys with me for a month that were just here to snowboard. You know, they were here in their summer or winter. Our summers and winters are opposite, right? So they were here to snowboard and play. And I think it was just having their energy in the house and having had my head sort of banged up a little bit, because it does have almost a fever dreamish quality to it in a way, you know?
Yeah, like
animals, right? Animals.
Yeah, it does.
Anyone that's listening, it's kind of like human animals with the animal body or animal heads and the human bodies. And so I really just felt like I wanted something that was playful and joyful and that was fun. And to be honest with you, that process was, again, totally different than any of the other decks, because we laughed the whole time, my assistant and I, looking at those cards, because we would put we would think, okay, this has to be a cheetah. We just knew the animal. But then trying to match up the heads with the bodies, we ended up with all of these really weird ones that totally didn't work. And it looks like it's a comedy of errors, you know, as we tried to find the right pieces to collage together these parts. And so I don't think I've ever laughed as much as I did during that process. And so that deck had that energy, like, let it be fun. Let it be ridiculous, you know?
What a perfect deck for that time where we were in the world, because we needed so much levity.
Yes, absolutely.
In the midst of this, the scariness and the unknown. So it's amazing. It's amazing how that, like that timing came into play. I love that.
I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm really so grateful for the deck.
It's really fun because like as things were getting ready to shut down here, I went to an arts and crafts store and I spent a couple $100s in art supplies. I got canvases, I got watercolors, I got, you know, and my kids looked at me like I was nuts. And I said, none of us know how long we're going to be inside. And I remember us growing up, mm-hmm. my parents would say like, go and be bored, like go create. And we would put on a show or we would be playful or we would, you know, do art. And I don't claim to be good at it, but we all actually just used our imagination and played. And I think the Curious Creatures, it is dreamlike and quirky and fun and whimsical. So I think the world does need more of that, for sure.
We needed it then and we still need it now. That's for sure. Everybody, I think, if they got to creating art for the sake of art, would be much less cranky.
Yeah. Mm, absolutely. I'm feeling that big time in my soul and my spirit right now, the need for like whimsy and spontaneous fun that doesn't have to be perfect, right? Because there's so much judgment in the world right mm-hmm. now with artists and creations and the way people look at things that I have this deep desire right now to just put art into the world that is spontaneous, that I do not put through a filter. And it's sort of like a, let's see what happens, because we need that from artists right now. We need this spontaneity and this just true rawness from the creative spark, you know?
Creation for creation's sake, not with the, this is going to be consumed, right? I think a lot of times, especially because of social media and that pressure, we're creating from the perspective of the people that are going to be consuming it versus just doing the darn thing, because you feel like seeing how, one of my favorite things is seeing how the watercolor is going to glide over the page that day and how I won't be able to control it.
Yes. Yes. Right? Yeah, because how else do we get in flow state? It's almost impossible to get into flow state, which is where we reap the rewards of our own creativity as artists, if we are so worried about what others will think or if it will sell.
Right. You know?
Unless you have like that kind of underlying mantra of like let it be healing or let it be whimsical or let it be creation for creativity's sake. Like those should be the driving forces of whatever it is that we're creating, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think there's something really special about just putting all judgment to the side and just saying, you know what? I'm not going to critique this. I'm not going to strive for perfection. I'm going to just create and be artistic and try something new. If it's like painting rocks or doing something, like just allow yourself to have that childlike wonder and play without judgment. Because we need to, like, everything's so regimented in today's society mm-hmm. and judged. And, like, you know, we compare ourselves to everything with social media. But, like, just to escape and create, I think, is such a gift in life that we don't utilize enough.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you for all that you do, because you definitely have inspired me and so many of our people. I mean, I'm just delighted and thrilled.
Absolutely.
Who are some of your favorites?
Well, I mentioned Danielle Noel. I really like her as a creator and an artist. I think I really like card art that feels like it is true to the person's soul, you know, and they're willing to share that with us. So as far as kind of contemporary decks, she is one of my favorite creators with, you know, she's got a whole big whack of decks. And then if I'm talking like if you want to hear favorite decks, the ones that I tend to go to most, because I don't actually love using my own decks to read for myself. I much prefer to go to someone else's deck where I can look at their words in their guidebook and see a new keyword that I didn't already have in my mind.
You know, now you have me super interested now. I want to know absolutely what your go-to deck is if you're pulling.
So, well, it does shift and change, but if I'm talking about like for the last 15 years, I mean, definitely There is the Druid craft that I absolutely love. The Will Worthington, I believe, is the illustrator for these decks. The Druid craft, the Wildwood, you know, that whole family of decks I love. And then I have some weird ones. There's the one that is the Tarot of the Magical Forest, I believe it's called. It's a tiny deck, and it's just got these like fluffy animals that are made to look, they're just ridiculously cute. You know, depending on my mood, I'll go grab different decks, but I have a pretty significant collection and I don't use them all. You know, some of them I just look at because I absolutely love the artwork, but the ones that I actually go to, I feel like they must be either very spiritual. Like there's something that just comes through the art. The name is escaping me. The Mary L. There's such gorgeous artwork in that. It's just, I'm not explaining this very well, but sometimes you feel people's energy through their art. And decks are like that. And there's just this sense of like, you can almost feel the love or the energy, or there's like this leftover echo of the emotion that they put into that piece. And so there's very few decks that I really sense that from. And so,
So if you were going to pull a card now for the collective, what deck would what would you choose to pull from? And we're going to pull from yours.
Well, I have here, Curious Creatures in my hand. So I will pull from that one.
Okay. I'm going to do Light Seers.
And I'll use the Muse. So we'll pull a card for the collective. And we'll do a little group reading to close. This is so fun. I could talk to you all day long. You're going to have to come to us.
I'm always happy to talk cards.
Danielle's going to have to move out of her house soon because she has such an unbelievable collection of cards.
It's true. I do.
Amazing.
I need floor to ceiling bookshelf.
You need a gigantic library. What'd you get?
Well, it came up reversed. I got 10 of voices reversed. So 10 of swords. She's gorgeous. And it's shaped like a big V. And she's like this. It's very dramatic and beautiful.
It's like she's in a hammock.
Yeah. I mean, she's been through it, but she's coming out of it because it came out reverse. So I think she's been through some stuff, but she's a survivor. And now she's ready for her next chapter and ready to like, okay, I've regained my energy and I'm ready to like, I could survive anything. That's what I'm getting.
I think after the first three quarters of this year, a lot of us feel that way. The energy has been
That's what I'm getting from
insane.
Yeah.
I got the Queen of Pentacles, which she's amazing because she's wrapped up. Her hair is beautiful and wrapped up. She's wearing this beautiful, flowy Earth Mother outfit. She is holding the pentacle with her hand, like, and she's like, I got this. I am content and I have what I need and I have enough to share. So I think piggybacking off of you, it's like, all right, like, don't let the story of your past inform your future. You have more than enough. You're going to be okay. And she looks like her name would be Mama Love to me.
Such a beautiful card.
She's got you. It's beautiful. Gorgeous.
And what did you pull?
So I have strength. So I got strength from the Curious Creatures, which is, for those listening and not watching, you may think if we're talking humanimals, there'd be a lion on the card, but there's not. My strength card actually has a sheep or a lamb, thinking about sort of the softness that strength embodies. Although, I mean, when we talk about the strength card, I'm just thinking about your 10 of swords reversed and your Queen of Pentacles and the strength card. I think potentially there's some people listening who may also be looking at how do I get through all of this stuff that we, that, you know, that I've been through in the past few years, or you're really going through it, or maybe you have, you know, these ideas about the success you'd like to have in life, or maybe there's these weird feelings about a little bit of insecurity, whether that's in relationships or financial or whatever it is, we can step into the strength card, into that energy of embodying this courage that we have inside. And sometimes we have to embody it, even if we don't really believe that we have it. You know what I mean? There's a sense of like stepping into it, a little bit of fake it till you make it when it comes to courage, because we never know how far we can go or how great things can be if we're not willing to try. So we have to give it a try. It's always scary to try new things or to believe new things or to test new things. And so for me, there's just this newness of the energy when I'm reading this card right now. I don't usually see strength as a new energy, but it feels like new energy in this reading. So new energy on the way and jump into it. Yeah.
I love that. Well, I think that's beautiful.
Thank you so much for spending time with us. Where can people find out more information about you? Tell us your socials, your website.
Yes, sure. I am www.chris-ann.com, which is chris-anne.com. Or you can just find me on Instagram at Pixie Curio, exactly how it sounds. It's horrible for branding, but it's an old Instagram account that I just keep keeping on with the same name. So Pixie Curio, or maybe even just looking up lightseerstarot.com, and or yeah, there, you can find me there too. So a couple different places.
Well, Chris-Ann, it has been, like Danielle said, an honor to spend time with you today. Thank you so, so, so much. It was great.
Absolutely. So let's definitely plan some more fun together again soon. And thank you again for everything.
I can't wait to see you guys in person.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to arrange to have you come visit us for sure.
We're going to hold you to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening. Thanks so much.
Be well. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all for tonight, witches, but the magic doesn't stop here.
Be sure to follow Apothecary After Dark wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Leave us a comment or review. We'd love to hear what's stirring in your cauldron.
And you can always find us at shopamityvilleapothecary.com or at Amityville Apothecary across all the socials.
Until next time, keep your wards up, your wands at the ready, and your spell work sharp.